From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. That's right, it is Wednesday, February 24th, 2016. And folks, yeah, I know, it's bad outside, okay? But we've been dodging a lot of bullets this summer, okay? It was 60 degrees this past week, and I know the sun was out, the birds were chirping, the grass was starting to turn green. And now it has finally hit us, so we really can't complain, can we? But we plan on keeping you warm throughout this show, despite what, I guess you can say, old man winter has brought us throughout this week. We have a great one in store for you, filled with a ton of discussion. Of course, we will recap what took place last night in Columbus, Ohio, as the Michigan State men's basketball team tops Ohio State in a really ideally a blowout. But Tom Izzo was not happy with the way his squad performed throughout much of that one last night, and we'll discuss why. We'll also dive into the Stanley Johnson injury. That's right, the rookie guard for the Detroit Pistons is slated to be out a couple of weeks. We'll talk about what that means for the Pistons moving forward. Also, it is official, folks, the Robert Griffin III era has now ended in Washington. Can Robert still land a starting gig somewhere else? We'll debate about that. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about the NFL withholding a little bit of moolah. Actually, $120 million of moolah. Yeah, we'll talk about that, folks, and get to the specifics of what that story entails. All of that, as well as take your calls throughout this hour, 517-355-9527. But hey, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, of course, we start with the Michigan State men's basketball team, the number 6 Spartans. They overcame a bit of a sluggish start to take care of Ohio State on the road last night, 81-62, the final of that one. Senior Brent Forbes continued his red-hot shooting streak, making 6 of his 7 three-pointers, to lead all scorers with 27 points. Denzel Valentine pitched in with 17 points and 8 assists, surpassing Draymond Green for 17th on the all-time MSU scoring list. As a team, the Spartans shot 63% from behind the three-point line. That's crazy. The win moves Michigan State into fourth place in the Big Ten Conference, putting them in a favorable position to earn a double bye in the conference tourney. Next up, MSU returns home for a Sunday afternoon matchup against Penn State. We're heading into the final games of the season, and the Michigan State women's basketball team will show down against Illinois tonight. That should be an interesting one. Again, this is they're ranked number 20, the team travels to Illinois to take on the Fighting Illini. Tip-off is set for 8 p.m. Also, the meeting is the first between the two teams this season. Michigan State leads the all-time series with Illinois 39-28, having won the last three in the series. Last season, MSU won 63-56 in East Lansing on January 15th and 67-65 in Champaign on February 25th. The Illini are coming off a 117-74 drubbing from Ohio State, while the Spartans defeated Minnesota on Sunday 114-106, the final of that one. The Leslie boys basketball team clinched the outright Greater Lansing Athletics Conference title last night on the heels of a 67-48 win over Lakewood. It is the team's first league title since 2007. Senior guard Zach Ladder, he led the way for Leslie with 21 points, while Dylan Patton and David Hill also scored in double figures. The Blackhawks are now 17-1 on the year and are currently ranked number 6 in Class B. All 17 of their wins have come by 10 or more points. The Detroit Red Wings defeated the Columbus Blue Jackets 2-1 in a shootout yesterday night. Now, the Blue Jackets forward Boone Jenner gave Columbus the lead early in the first period, but Mrazek was solid for the rest of the night, finishing with 28 saves. Red Wings forward Riley Sheehan scored Detroit's first shorthanded goal of the year, tying the game with 13:59 left in the second period. He also scored one of their two goals in the shootout. Andreas Antino, he added the other shootout goal. The Detroit Pistons will be without rookie Stanley Johnson for the next 2 weeks. Johnson suffered the right shoulder sprain in the fourth quarter of their Monday night victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Pistons have signed forward Justin Harper of the Defenders of the D-League, the D-League affiliate exactly of the Los Angeles Lakers, to a 10-day contract. Harper played for the Pistons Summer League squad last year. The Cleveland Cavaliers guard Kyrie Irving gets an apology, I should say, from Hilton Hotels. But why? Well, he was bitten by bed bugs during a weekend stay in downtown Oklahoma City. We highlighted that fun story yesterday, right? In a win over OKC, Irving played just 9 minutes. His teammates blamed flu-like symptoms, and Irving corrected them soon after, saying he was a victim of bed bugs on his pillow, which caused him to sleep on the couch. He said he didn't get much sleep, and he had a sore back, but the Hilton Hotels apologized, saying, quote, "The comfort of our guests is a top priority, and we are very sorry to hear about Mr. Irving's stay." Here's Irving's reaction.
I mean, just imagine how freaked out you would be if you saw freaking five big-ass bed bugs just sitting on your pillow. Like, I woke up itching, and I'm just looking around, and I'm like, "Dude, are you serious right now?" And it was 3 a.m., and I was like, I was so tired at that point, so it was whatever.
You guys are used to.
Yeah, that bite never gets old. And also, we're heading into the final games of the year, and the Michigan men's basketball team, they will take on Northwestern. Northwestern is only 5-9 in the conference, and Michigan is 9-6. So we can most likely predict where this game will go. But then again, anything can happen. March is right around the corner, folks. The Wolverines better keep racking in those wins if they want a spot in the tourney. The Wildcats, on the other hand, will likely miss out on the chance. They have lost to every ranked team that they have faced. And UFC featherweight champion Conor McGregor will take on Nate Diaz in a non-title welterweight bout at UFC 196 on March 5th. McGregor was originally scheduled to take on Rafael Dos Anjos, but that fell through when Dos Anjos withdrew with a broken foot. UFC president Dana White says, quote, "A lot of guys wanted this fight, but we ended up with Nate Diaz. We felt this was the right fight to make and the fight that fans wanted to see." Let's start the show.
Needless to say, it was a huge night for you from three-point range. What were you feeling out there? Just everything was going in.
There's a lot of open shots. You know, we ran a lot of sets tonight for me. And, you know, my teammates found me, set good screens, and passed the ball well, so shots went in.
What was the difference from the first half to the second half for this team? I know Coach was tough on you guys probably in the locker room.
Yeah, I'd say that's what it is. You know, he told us we have to play better, you know, for what we're trying to do. And our goals, you know, that's just, we can't come out and have games like this.
And not only were you great from three, but the team as a whole really shot well from the perimeter. How were you able to have so much success from outside?
We work. We're in the gym every day after practice, all the time, you know. I think it's supposed to happen. All the work we put in. So.
Congratulations on the win. We'll send it back to the studio in Chicago.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy hump day. That's right. It is Wednesday, February 24th, 2016. I hope that you all are having a great, great week. I know I am. Having a lot of fun here on Current Sports. And, of course, that continues this afternoon. Got to remind you all that, of course, it is Wednesday. And not only do I get behind the mic and rock out your speakers, but I also do my thing on television. That's right. Current Sports TV will tape tonight at 6 p.m. at the WKAR-TV studios. I'm excited because I will be sitting down with Dale Beard. If you don't know who Dale Beard is, well, folks, he was a part of that 1977 Lansing Everett High School Boys Basketball State Championship team that, of course, dined a man behind that goes by the name of Irvin Magic Johnson, okay? Yeah. He actually was Magic's point guard back in 1977. Dale and Magic have stayed close throughout the years, and Dale actually went on to have a pretty good basketball career playing overseas, and now he is an assistant coach with the Lansing Everett boys basketball team. Of course, the head coach of that team right now is Desmond Ferguson, who had a pretty good NBA career also. He played overseas as well. Got a chance to check out the Lansing Everett and Okemos boys basketball game last night. That was a thriller. I must say, folks, that came down to the last play. Everett squeaking out a one-point win over Jeff Wanch and the Chiefs. All right, moving along here. Again, folks, our phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of today's show, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, folks, the Oscars take place this Sunday. And throughout this entire month, we have been taking your votes as we dwindle down the number one sports movie of all time. We held nominations before the month began. And this week, we've got four movies going at it in head-to-head matchups, and we'll have the final vote next week on Monday as we dwindle down the top five picks, if you will. So in honor of the Oscars, this week, and this will be the final day to vote for these two movies, we've got Rudy, a legendary sports film, going against one of my favorite documentary sports docs of all time, Hoop Dreams. Okay, and right now we've only had just two votes coming from me and Isaac. That's crazy. We need you guys to come in, to call in and vote on this. Rudy or Hoop Dreams? What do you think? What's your favorite movie out of those two? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And starting tomorrow, we'll wrap up those two movies going at it. And we'll have two more movies going at it for Thursday and Friday. And then we'll have our final vote that will take place the day after the Oscars on Monday. So again, call in 517-355-9527. Let's talk some MSU hoops. You just heard from a man who just completely lit it up last night in Columbus, Ohio. That being Bryn Forbes. Folks, he hit 7 3-pointers, one shy of his career high, 27 points, went 7 of 10. 7 of 10. Are you kidding me? That's just crazy. 7 of 10 from the three-point line. MSU, actually, they shot a total of 14 of 22, 63.6% as a team, over 60%. That's absolutely just crazy. But Bryn Forbes, and I've had this debate with Joe Rexroad of the Detroit Free Press. I actually sent out a tweet watching Bryn last week play, and I remember the tweet. I think I put Bryn Forbes equals the greatest shooter in Michigan State men's basketball history, and then Joe Rexroad, he tweeted me back and said, "Whoa there, young fella, don't forget about Sean Respert." And, of course, I was a little tyke when Sean Respert was playing, so I had to do some YouTubing over the last few days. And, actually, I've only seen one video of Sean, and it's a video back in, I believe, 1995, where he had just absolutely lit up the Michigan Wolverines, was in a complete zone. He had such a smooth stroke, a great jump shot. But Bryn Forbes, man, oh, man. I mean, he's not too far if you put Sean Respert at the top of that list, without a doubt. Bryn Forbes just has a smooth stroke. And, you know, something, an adjustment that I've seen Bryn make, and we talked with Bryn about this last week, and Bryn just is coming off those screens a little tighter than he has been in the past, and it's allowing a little more space for him to get off that jump shot. And it's working. Again, last night, folks, again, 7 3-pointers, one shy of 8, which is his career high, 27 points, and Tom Izzo noted last night that Bryn Forbes bailed out his basketball team. Denzel Valentine did what Denzel Valentine has done all year, 17 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. He actually passed Draymond Green on Michigan State's all-time scoring list at 17 on that list now. And again, we've had this chat numerous times throughout the basketball year, whether or not Denzel Valentine should be the player of the year. He's certainly in the conversation, and I think he's right behind Buddy Hield. If you're going to really dissect both Buddy Hield's game and Denzel Valentine's effectiveness, you ideally have to give it to Denzel Valentine, because not only does Denzel Valentine burn you offensively, but he's a fantastic defender, one of the best defenders on this squad for the Spartans. And he also makes everyone better around him. So from top to bottom, I mean, if you had to get an award, you know, again, best player in the nation, top to bottom, and how they affect play on both ends of the basketball court and make their teammates better, I mean, it's clearly Denzel Valentine. But again, Denzel Valentine going out with an injury, missing 3 games, Buddy Hield being on the scoring tear that he has been on this year, his numbers are more glaring when you talk about his offensive production I mean, I think Buddy Hield may have it. And you heard Dan Dockett say that, yeah, Buddy Hield will probably win it, but Denzel Valentine is the best player in the nation. And Thad Matta, who's the head coach of Ohio State last night, after the game was said and done, he said, first and foremost, Denzel Valentine is the best player in the country. And it's hard to argue with that. What Denzel Valentine has done this year is remarkable. And again, it continued last night. He was two assists shy away from going in double digits, and he was five boards away from, of course, going in double digits in the rebound category. Matt Costello. Yeah, Matt got called out by his head coach, Tom Izzo, on national TV. I've been trying to look for that bite on social media since last night. I could not find a clear rendition of it. But was that halftime interview hilarious or what? You know, Tom Izzo just completely went off, called out his team in that first half and said that we did not play good at all. And then, you know, there was a question about what adjustment do you make going into the second half? And he said, you know what, I'm going to talk to my seniors. I am going to talk to my seniors. Matt Costello is still at the bus right now. How funny was that? I mean, Matt Costello, it's just great. That's just a great quote from Tom Izzo, okay? But, you know, it's all of a sudden, you know, it's like this team woke up. You know, Matt Costello, you know, more specifically, I mean, because, of course, he certainly had a target on his back after hearing those comments at the half from Tom Izzo. Costello came out and had 12 of his 16 points in the second half. So he certainly picked up his play. Even when he came out, you know, scoring for his team, there was also, there was one or two defensive laps to start that second half, one in which he let a backdoor cut go in for an easy lay-in. And, you know, Izzo, though, he just had some fantastic quotes last night. He just had some fantastic quotes when discussing where his team is right now. Here's a few quotes from what he had to say last night. Quote, my big guys were out to lunch tonight. Gotta love that one. Quote, my bigs are reading their press clippings. And then he went on to say also, quote, I've been slacking off, trying to get them some rest. I wasn't happy with them, talking about the bigs. I'm more unhappy with me. So I've got to do a facelift. Gotta love Tom Izzo. And, you know, this is the time of the year where, of course, March is right around the corner. Right around the corner, folks. And we start talking about tournament action. The Big Ten tournament coming up. And then that bleeds right into the NCAA tournament. This is when Tom Izzo expects a ton from his ball club. This is when they have to be clicking on all cylinders. There shouldn't be little problems that have existed since the start of the year. All of that should be cleared up. And Tom Izzo is a meticulous dude. He strives for perfection around this time of the year because, as he stated earlier this week, you can't have my bads if you expect to win national championships and compete for them. Simple as that. So it's the little things that Tom Izzo was looking at. Even though Michigan State tops Ohio State 81-62 last night, he's looking at the little details that could lose them games if they play like that against other competition, okay? And Ohio State, I mean, this is a team that is certainly reeling right now. A team that, I don't think Ohio State will see them during the NCAA tourney action this year. They'll need a really impressive outing in the Big Ten tourney. They'll need, you know, a few more wins to get some big teams. They haven't gotten any. They haven't gotten quality wins against big juggernauts. And that's the big thing, for, you know, the big knock against Thad Matta and his team this year. Ohio State, of course, they got news yesterday that starter Jayshon Tate is out for the rest of the year with a shoulder injury. Looking at production from other guys, 19 points from Mark Loving, 16 from Jaquan Lyle. But again, this is an Ohio State team that, you know, they hung with Michigan State, you know, at the very beginning of that game. And a lot of that had to do with just lack of energy and lack of focus from Michigan State. They came out a bit sluggish to start that game, but they got it together as the game went on. Michigan State now, you know, here are a few glaring things that stand out here. Michigan State is a perfect now 20-0 when leading at halftime. So take that to Vegas. And also, this is the largest win over Ohio State since February 4th of 1998. Again, the largest dub over OSU since 98. So for me, you know, when evaluating this, you know, you look at what this win now does for Michigan State. Michigan State now 23-5 overall, 10-5 in the Big Ten Conference. That's good for fourth, as, of course, they entered this one tied with Ohio State for that fourth spot. But now they jump Ohio State, good for fourth in the Big Ten behind Indiana, Iowa, and Maryland. Can Michigan State win the Big Ten title? Yeah, technically they're still in it. I really think, though, that goal is a bit far-fetched now. I mean, they'll need certainly, you know, some of the later tier in the Big Ten to knock off some of the top tier. Like Wisconsin, you know, maybe beating Iowa on Wednesday, who knows? You know, Indiana needs to lose as well. They'll need to be upset as the weeks go by here. But you know, right now, I think Michigan State, if we want to look at the positive aspect for Michigan State sitting at fourth in the Big Ten right now, if they continue and close out the year strong and finish out the year with dubs, Michigan State can shoot for a double bye in the Big Ten tournament, okay? It's better to win three straight for a Big Ten tourney championship than have to win, what, four or five games, all right? So Michigan State, if they finish in the top four of the Big Ten conference, they will have a double bye for the Big Ten tournament, which I think is huge from a rest standpoint for this squad as well. Also, I want to call out Aaron Harris. I think Aaron Harris, I mean, he is certainly the defensive leader of this squad. Aaron Harris playing fantastic defense yet again last night. I just, it's so interesting to look at his tapes from West Virginia and how he was just a shooter. Didn't really play great defense, but then he got here and that certainly changed. He had 9 points, one steal last night as well. Aaron Harris, great production from him. And how about, you know, Deontay Davis? This was a bit surprising. He played 17 minutes, 0 of 3 from the field. Didn't score 1 point. So a donut in the point column for Deontay Davis. Deontay, please stay another year, my man. I just think that his game certainly can, you know, he is nowhere close to his ceiling right now. He's a fantastic player. He's a shot blocking machine. You know, he's got that little jump hook going right now, but he can add so much to his game, and I can just see him improving so much if he stays around for yet another year. I know that, you know, NBA pundits out there have him slated as a possible first rounder. You know, there's a part of me that says, okay, I ain't mad at you if you're going after that moolah. But at the same time, I mean, just perfect example last night. He plays 17 minutes. He gets into foul trouble early, 0 of 3 from the field, 0 points. Deontay Davis has a tremendous upside and could use another year. I'm just saying. And I'm getting a lot of questions as far as Michigan State and their seeding in the NCAA tourney. I mean, this is around the time of the year we start talking brackets. We start breaking down bracketology. And I really think that when you look at Michigan State, if Michigan State has a strong outing in the Big Ten tournament, even if they just get to the semis, they don't even have to win the whole thing. They will be a number one seed. You better believe they will be a number one seed in this year's NCAA tournament if they win the Big Ten tourney, without a doubt. But even if they get to the semifinals, I still think they have a shot at that number one seed and maybe even at number two. You can't go worse than two if they finish strong in the Big Ten tourney. So, interesting game, though, last night. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, my man, and what did you see from this team last night?
Doing well, Al. Yeah, I saw about the same as you. So it was really, I mean, I've been saying it all year, but it was really a performance where MSU didn't necessarily perform up to their standards in many ways. You mentioned Deontay Davis's performance. He obviously could have been better. And at times, Ohio State really stuck with this team. This was a 36-31 game at halftime. So Tom Izzo really did have reason to be upset because this Ohio State team, you mentioned, they're not at full strength for one, and they're not that good of a team when they are for another. So Ohio State, I thought they played almost better than could be expected under the conditions. I think there's no way they make the tournament now with this loss. And, I mean, the rest of their season schedule, I just don't see it happening for them. 18-11 right now, just don't see any teams really falling enough to make room for them in the tournament. But Michigan State, you know, when you play good defense, solid defense throughout the game, and that's what MSU did. I mean, Ohio State only had, I believe, two men in double digits, and that was Mark Loving and Jaquan Lau. So Jaquan Lau. So really excellent performance from the Spartans defensively. And that's what you have to take away from this. Bryn Forbes, he'll have his on-night shooting. He'll have his off-night shooting. But defense, that's what really stays. And to me, like you said, Aaron Harris, his defense has been so important, so crucial for the Spartans. If they can keep getting that production, this team's got a bright future. And like you mentioned, a chance at the number one spot.
Yeah, and again, I think that, again, I'll go on the record to say I think it's a bit far-fetched because they will need – a few upsets to happen in order for Michigan State to climb that mountaintop and possibly win the Big Ten. It's possible. I just don't see it happening. Again, I think a big game to watch is tonight, Wisconsin and Iowa. I really think that Wisconsin would have to beat Iowa in order to really open that door and to bang that door down for Michigan State to move up in the standings there. You'll need Indiana to have some losses later on in the year. They'll just need to be rooting for these underdogs as the year moves on. You know, but going back to Aaron Harris, I mean, yeah, he's been so good defensively, and especially for me, he's been such a catalyst since, you know, Tum Tum went out with his injury with the plantar fasciitis, something he's battled and is still battling throughout the entire year. Aaron just seemed to just say, okay, you know what, Tum Tum is our, you know, prime guard defender. I need to step my game up in that area as well, and he's been absolutely fantastic. And again, you know, it's about details here. Because it's little things. It always comes down to the little things. When you talk about competing for championships and trying to make a run at a national championship come tourney time, you have to understand the lens in which Tom Izzo is looking for here. Tom Izzo wants a national title, and he will not rest until he gets one. And that's why we saw so much anger from him last night. That's why we saw him just completely flip out on his team at halftime, during the halftime interview. And frankly, I agree with him because, you know, I think that the only reason Ohio State was able to hang around with Michigan State last night is because Michigan State, they came out so sluggish, mentally just not there. And Tom mentioned how in the postgame presser, how the first, I think, three plays that they ran, none of them were run the way that they should have been run. They all were flukes, point blank period. That's all mental. And it's those kind of lapses that, again, if you're not going against Ohio State, if you're going against the Iowas of the world, if you're going against the Kansases of the world, the Villanovas of the world, those are little details that can lose you games. And I think it was great for Izzo to call out his seniors here because it starts with the leadership and then it trickles down. And, you know, he specifically called out, you know, his bigs and said that he's been trying to get them rest. He wasn't happy with them. They've got to step it up. So, and again, my big guys were out to lunch tonight. Gotta love that. He was a quote machine. Izzo was a quote machine last night. But again, it's those little details. And, you know, and you saw what happened. If you're going to play for Tom Izzo, you have to have thick skin. I've always said that because he is going to get at you. He's going to yell at you. He is going to, at times, embarrass you. But you cannot crawl up like a turtle in your shell. You have to accept it and go out there and use it as motivation. And that's exactly what Matt Costello did. Well, he was called out on national TV last night, Isaac, for the world to see. The world was chuckling at Matt Costello last night. He comes out, and what does he do in the second half to set the tone? I think he had something like, you know, 6 of the first 8 Michigan State points in the second half, 12 of his 16 in the second half. He certainly responded, but that effort has to be there right at the tip. Simple as that.
And you grow accustomed to that, especially Matt Costello, a senior, Denzel Valentine. You see Tom Izzo isn't afraid to dig into those guys. And Bryn Forbes, actually his first season, you might have seen him with a little bit of softer skin after being criticized and benched. He didn't respond to it quite as well. But once he found his way in the system, the Tom Izzo effect wore down on him. And he was able to eventually get his confidence up and start shooting like everybody knew he could. Similar thing for Aaron Harris, too, although Bob Huggins over at West Virginia is no slouch when it comes to screaming at players either. But Denzel Valentine, I think he and how he embodies the senior leadership of this team also makes it so much easier for all the other players to kind of fall in line behind him. Because the example he sets, even yesterday against Ohio State, might not have been his best game of the season, but you just see the leadership he provides down the stretch. And this is a guy who only sat 2 minutes last night, 5 minutes against Wisconsin, 2 minutes against Indiana, played overtime, everything but 3 minutes against Purdue. He's got to be exhausted, but he just goes out time and time again, doesn't complain, communicates with Tom Izzo, and they're on the same page in leading this team to a potential number one seed.
But you know what, Isaac, I want to make this statement about Denzel Valentine. This is what I think really separates Denzel Valentine from being just good to great. What I saw from Denzel Valentine, this is something I've really paid attention to last night, and just kind of breaking down what makes him so good throughout the course of the game. First off, one, his God-given abilities. I mean, he just has this vision that, again, when he was first recruited coming out of high school, Izzo, he compared it to that of Magic Johnson. Okay, those are pretty high compliments. He has God-given vision that when he's out there, he knows where all 10 guys are out on the basketball court, which is simply remarkable. So, one, he has God-given talent, point blank period. Secondly, he's got great work ethic. That's something that was noted in the latest episode of The Journey. I don't know if you checked that out, but Costello talks about how Denzel Valentine just works at his game constantly, is constantly in the gym all the time. So his work ethic, but also when you watch Denzel Valentine, this is number three for me. He's so patient, Isaac. That is the biggest thing for me when watching Denzel Valentine. I mean, you know, just last night, there were a few plays that I noted. And Dan Dockage did a, you know, hate him or love him. He did a good job of pointing this out. Denzel Valentine one time came down the court. He didn't see anything. There was really no passing lanes for any of his teammates. What did he do? He swung the ball around. He repositioned himself. The ball swings back around to him. His defender gets caught up, I guess, on, I forget who drove, but his defender gets caught up on the drive. The ball goes out to Valentine. His defender runs at him. Denzel's eye, he had space to shoot. Denzel's eyes could have certainly just glared up and shot the three. You know what I mean? But what he did was, what does he do? He grabs the ball, patiently throws up a shot fake, dribbles in, takes one dribble in, and nails the three with no one around him. That is something that separates Valentine from the good from the great, because he lets the play develop. He doesn't force anything. His patience is something that he did not have when he first got here to Isaac, because if you remember, he was a turnover machine.
Exactly.
His first years here. Now, I mean, I have to look up the stats, but how many turnovers did he have last night? I wonder how many turnovers Denzel Valentine is averaging this year. I guarantee it's not many.
Yeah. Patience is a virtue that's acquired over time, and you stole my thunder, because that's exactly what I was going to say. This isn't something that Denzel Valentine innately has. This is something he's developed over his years at Michigan State. How many times did you see him before, really last year, but also especially this year when he was forced to take over a lot of the point guard responsibilities, force a behind-the-back pass, just a stupid play. Mm-hmm. The guy obviously had talent, but he'd just make these decisions, which would make you pull out your hair and scratch your head. And he no longer really does that. He plays in control. He's aware of his abilities, the abilities of his teammates.
Right.
And he totally trusts everybody else on the court. But he no longer forces in those passes that can be exceptional, but can also be so hazardous to a team. He had one game earlier this season in which he really did that. I'm actually forgetting which one, but he had a few possessions just back-to-back where he forced behind-the-back pass and then also had the ball stripped from him. But aside from that, he has not had that at all this season.
Yeah, very, very true. And also, you mentioned his leadership, Isaac. I mean, there was a moment I also want to point out before we hit this first break here. Matt McQuaid at the very top of the key, just a horrible turnover. Bryn Forbes coming around on the wing, and his Bryn Forbes defender, he jumps the pass. You know, McQuaid throws it. It gets, you know, picked off, goes coast to coast for an easy lay-in, and Tom Izzo calls a timeout, and he immediately goes off. I mean, and you could read his lips, and I tweeted this out when I saw it, because I rewinded it. It was so funny. I rewinded it like three times, and he goes off on Matt McQuaid, and what happens? You see Denzel Valentine coming between Tom Izzo and Matt McQuaid, and Denzel Valentine whispers something in his ear, and Matt McQuaid says, "All right, I got it." That's leadership. And this is what Tom Izzo wants. He wants his team to be a player coach squad. And that's exactly what Denzel Valentine is showing right now. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about a pretty big injury for the Detroit Pistons. Also, Robert Griffin III, his era in Washington is now kaput. And also the NFL withholding money. Say it ain't so. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I trust that you all, especially if you are listening to us in your car right now, in your vehicle right now, I hope that you are all safe because it is absolutely horrid. And so much so that we are actually going to, just got word about this, we're gonna have to postpone our Current Sports TV taping tonight with Dale Beard. It is that bad, folks, and it doesn't show any sign of letting up anytime soon. So for your safety, we will not tape Current Sports TV tonight. So we will keep you posted on when we will reschedule that. In the meantime, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, we're still taking your votes. Rudy versus Hoop Dreams. Isaac, I believe you went with Rudy. You went with Rudy, I went with Hoop Dreams. Those are the only two votes we had.
No, we actually did have another one just at the start of the show.
Really?
Rudy up 2-1.
Rudy's up 2-1. Who called in?
Actually, did not get a name. It was just a quick Rudy, and then hang up. So,
I mean,
it was clear what the message was, but no name or no location.
Okay, all right, that's very discreet, but still, it's a vote nonetheless. And again, you can also tweet me for those that are on Twitter and are social media savvy, maybe a bit shy calling in. You can even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Heck, even send me an email, okay, at almartin@wkar.org. almartin@wkar.org, or even go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Also, I want to get – we have two votes just sitting behind our glass right now, our PAs. We've got Mike Masson and Seth Kinker. I got to know. Let's bring on Seth first. Are you going with Rudy or Hoop Dreams, my man?
Rudy for sure.
He is going with Rudy. So, okay. He said for sure, too. He's like, Hoop Dreams ain't even nothing. All right, 3-1. 3-1 there. All right, Mike, what about you, my man?
I've actually never seen either.
Kid, okay, so he can't vote then. But you've never seen Rudy? Okay, you. I know what you're doing this weekend, all right? Just some Netflix and chilling on some Rudy and Hoop Dreams, all right? That's crazy. Neither one of those movies. All right, so right now it stands at 3-1, Isaac. And it would be a surprise to me if Rudy doesn't win. I mean, it's a classic. Hoop Dreams is a classic, too, but it's kind of like an underground classic. You know what I mean? It's a documentary. But, yeah, Rudy's a classic. So
well, it's overseeded. It's the mid-major in the region right now. You know, it's
right.
Kind of like Butler or Xavier. You expect them to get a high seed because of the way you played. But when they go against the traditional powers of Rudy, you can't really expect them to win.
Yeah, that's going to be really, really tough. Also, Isaac, I want to play this bite because this was a particularly interesting moment at the end of last night's Michigan State men's basketball game. Matt Van Dyke taking flight.
Scary? I did too. I watched the play.
You act like you do stuff.
Here is
watch this dunk.
He left it for Van Dyke. Best jumper on the team is Van Dyke.
Matt Van Dyke, the red shirt junior, with the dunk.
Yeah, they were taking it to the And One mixtape tour last night at the waning moments of that game. That was Alvin Ellis off the glass into the palms of Matt Van Dyke for the slamma jamma. And the camera immediately panned to the face of head coach Tom Izzo. And Tom really didn't show any emotion, didn't smile or didn't scoff at it. But I'm always interested. When the game is particularly out of reach, it's said and done, it's in the books, and you see a flashy play happen, you know, again, especially in an off-the-glass slam dunk, you know, go down, you know, is it kind of rubbing it in, you know, against your competition? What do you think about that, Isaac?
I'm so happy you brought this up because I'm very conflicted when it comes to this issue because I was always taught when the game's over, you take it easy, you give the other team the respect that they deserve, especially if it's been a little bit of a chippy matchup, something like that. But in the heat of the moment, and I know because I mentioned earlier on the show, how good my high school team has been this year. So over winter break, I returned to see a game, and it was very physical, back and forth, and our team pulled it out. But just being caught up in the moment with other alumni there at the game, watching all former players, we got so into it. And at the end of the game, one of our players attempted a dunk, and it would have brought the roof down. It was crazy. At the same time, after the game, I remember asking my dad, what did you think about that? As a more nonpartisan observer. Did you think that was disrespectful? And he said, yes, but I was so caught up in it, I didn't think about it for a second. Mm-hmm. So
I guess
it depends whether you're in the moment or not.
But I think it depends on the level of basketball you're talking about. If this is the pros, I don't see any problem with it. If it's professional basketball, because I mean, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars to go out there and win games. Simple as that. When it comes to college and high school, elementary school, sports, period, I think that you're trying to teach these kids more than just winning at the end of the day.
True.
You know, how to win and how to lose and about, you know, being a classy individual. There are so many different life lessons. And it's really the big reason why many parents get their little one involved with sports is to teach them life lessons. You're going to win in life and you're going to lose. How do you handle both of those things? And, you know, when you're already up, you know, but what? I don't know how much they were up. They fit, you know, 81-62 to put the icing on the cake there. Yeah, I mean, Alvin Ellis could have really just put that off the glass and said, all right, game over. You know what I mean? In the pros, it's different. You know what I mean? In professional basketball, again, these guys are getting paid to go out there and win games, to be competitive. You know what I mean? It's all about winning and losing. Simple as that. So I am conflicted in that conversation, but I didn't think that it was needed there. I'm interested to know whether or not Tom Izzo had a talk with Mr. Ellis and Mr. Van Dyke after that one.
Sometimes when the team is gelling like this, though, ultimately you do understand that this is part of the team building process, mm-hmm. having fun during the game. Because, again, to bring back my high school team, I was shocked that my high school coach didn't point out the player, wave to him, say, sit down. But he didn't. And my coach is about as hardened as you can get because it was just such a moment where the team was playing well, the team was having fun. So you kind of let that slide. I wonder if Tom Izzo did the same thing or if Tom Izzo kind of jumped on him as a learning experience because we know Tom Izzo technically or usually does not accept certain types of misbehavior that he perceives.
And you know what? I'm so conflicted thinking about it more deeply, Isaac, because I'm such a competitive guy. And I've told you about my stories back in the day. I mean, I wasn't nothing nice when I played high school basketball, all right? And I'm such a competitive guy that I want to win at everything. And I've always told this story. If I'm playing Grandma Martin in a game of Goldfish, okay, or Uno, or checkers, whatever we're playing, hopscotch, whatever we're playing, I'm not just trying to beat Grandma. I am trying to stomp on Grandma's throat. So at the end of the day, for me, it's like, all right, and it's got like the Jimmy Johnson mentality when he was the head coach at the U. You know, I don't know if you've seen the U documentary on the ESPN 30 for 30, but he's like, yeah, I mean, they were running up the score, and they're dancing after they hit the goal line. And Jimmy Johnson's like, all right, if you don't like it, stop me. It's kind of like the Cam Newton mentality as well. If you don't like me dancing and showing off and having fun, why don't you stop me then? So there's that other aspect to it too, man. I'm curious to know what our listeners think. I mean, did you think that last night's off-the-glass alley-oop from Ellis to Matt Van Dyke was a little bit of showboating? What do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. All right, let's talk about Stanley Johnson. Of course, the spectacular rookie guard for the Detroit Pistons. As first reported via the Detroit News, Stan Van Gundy says rookie swingman Stanley Johnson will miss a couple of weeks with a right shoulder sprain. He suffered the injury during Monday night's impressive win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, when looking at this injury, of course, anytime you talk about a guy like Stanley Johnson, who has been a pretty solid contributor to the red, white, and royal blue throughout this year, this is certainly going to be a blow to this team. He's going to be out 2 weeks. Anthony Tolliver is also out 2 to 4 weeks. And even with that injury, I mean, that leaves Detroit with, what, five forwards? You're talking Marcus Morris, Tobias Harris, Reggie Bullock, and Joel Anthony, back with the squad. Justin Hooper, I think, from the D-League. He's also Harper with the D-League as well. He's coming back. He played with the LA Defenders in the NBA's D-League, averaging a little over 14 points, 5 boards, almost 2 assists per game in 34 games with the Defenders. So now you have, you know, 3 forwards for this squad to work with Tolliver out 2 to 4 weeks. And I think this injury with Johnson, you know, to look at the injury of Johnson, it's going to put more pressure on the guards. Reggie Jackson and KCP are going to have to shoulder a lot of the load now here. And it's going to be very challenging for this squad to not get into foul trouble when you talk about the starting play of guys like Reggie Jackson and KCP and to log on more minutes, to put more miles on the tires. That's going to be the big challenge here. Now, I will say that looking at this from a positive aspect, looking at the glasses half full right here, which is hard to do anytime you're talking about with an injury, is that in the next 2 weeks, the Detroit Pistons are only facing two winning teams throughout that stretch, those being the San Antonio Spurs and the Toronto Raptors. So I do think the Pistons can get through this stretch. And I do think, Isaac, that it will be even enough for the Pistons to finish, let's say, 500 in the next 2 weeks to still be competitive at gaining a spot in, you know, that eighth spot, I guess you can say, to compete for that eighth spot in the NBA's Eastern Conference, because that eighth spot right now is so competitive. I mean, it's so jumbled up right now between the Pistons and like two or three other teams. So what do you think about this injury?
I think it's devastating. I'm not quite so optimistic. I agree. Obviously, it's great that the Pistons' future schedule indicates that they'll have a few easy games ahead. But now you look at this team. Who scores off the bench? Who scores when Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson aren't playing? This is a big problem for the Pistons, because now suddenly your best bench player becomes Aaron Baines. I mean, seriously.
And he's not Aaron Baines. Don't knock Aaron. He's been good.
I like
this
Aaron.
Year. He's been solid this year, man.
But Aaron Baines is your go-to scorer off the bench. Let me say that again. Aaron Baines is your go-to scorer off the bench. You have a five-man rotation if you're the Detroit Pistons. And as optimistic I am as about the schedule, I mean, they're going up against teams like the Washington Wizards and the Chicago Bulls for this 8th seed, both who have significantly underperformed this year and don't have that same shallow bench that the Pistons do. So it's great, but in some ways, I warned about this when the Tobias Harris trade was made. I'd still make it again, but one injury and you're out an entire bench full of scoring, because Stanley Johnson was really your only offensive threat.
Yeah, and you know what? I will say this, though, Isaac. There have been plenty of games where Stanley Johnson has come off the bench and given the Pistons like five buckets. You know what I mean? So, I mean, 5 points for that matter. So, he will be missed without a doubt. But do I think the Pistons can survive 2 weeks without him and still stay competitive at nipping at the eighth spot? Without a doubt. I mean, again, you're only playing the Spurs and the Raptors in these next 2 weeks. The only two teams that have a winning record, and they play in the Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference is really it's the Eastern Conference. You know what I mean? So we'll see. And again, the fact though that Tolliver is out though 2 to 4
That's
weeks
huge as well.
I mean, goodness. I mean, 5-4. I mean, Morris, Harris, Bullock, Anthony, and I don't even know anything about this Harper guy. So. And he's on a 10-day contract.
Justin,
that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt the Pistons. So
it will. And the move that I think needs to be made for the Pistons is to elevate the minutes of Reggie Bullock, actually. I think Reggie Bullock is the one guy off the bench who can really create his own shot. Justin Harper, even in the D League, he only averaged about 14 points a game. He's more of a banger down low. You can get a few post buckets from him, but he's not going to do anything that exceptional. He's not going to put up 15 in an NBA game. Reggie Bullock, however, he had his scoring spurts when he was at North Carolina, and he's a sharp shooter. He's your best chance at replacing Stanley Johnson, because the guy's got ball handling skills. He's a scorer. He's a little bit like a PJ Harrison over in Charlotte. So they need him to step up and take that role.
There's a guy that I'm going to say I think is going to surprise some folks in these next 2 weeks, I think. I really believe that Darian Hilliard is going to be a guy that is going to step up his game and really, really turn some heads here. That's going to be my guy. Remember I said it. I think Hilliard is going to be the guy to say, all right, game time in these next 2 weeks. Folks, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports by talking about the era of Robert Griffin III finally being kaput. Finito out in Washington, D.C. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, it is official, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Redskins president Bruce Allen, he confirmed the news to 1090 AM radio in San Diego that Robert Griffin III will no longer be on Washington's roster next season. Quote, well, no, I see Robert getting an opportunity with another team. We've heard from some teams that are interested. I think he's going to have a choice of a couple of teams that he will that will let him excel in the future, I should say. End quote. Again, that's from Redskins president Bruce Allen confirming that RG3 will no longer be with the squad. Now, the Redskins, they have until, what, March 9th to trade or release Griffin before he will cost them $16.1 million when his fifth-year team option kicks in. Now, when evaluating that, I think we all saw this coming, first off. We all saw this coming, especially when Robert Griffin, when he was cleaning out his locker to end the year, he left a note, a particular note, in his locker room. And if you guys didn't get a chance to read this, I want to read this really briefly here. This is the note he left in his locker. Quote, people are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. That is the note that RG3 left in his locker room when he was cleaning it out, when the Redskins were done with their year. And again, that's why I say this is really no surprise, Isaac. I mean, the man wrote out this eloquent letter, and he put a lot of time in. I don't know if you've seen the letter. It's not like he hand wrote this on a paper like this, okay? It looks like it's laminated. It's got the Redskins logo in the background. Everything is typed out in different in bold font on the points he wants to emphasize. He really thought this out, okay? So this is not a surprise. Now, in the 4 years that RG3 was with the team, he went 14-21 as a starter, 9-6. A 9-6 run. If you remember, during his rookie year, he was absolutely fantastic. RG3 was the best thing since sliced bread coming out, okay? His rookie year, 9-6, in which he led the team to the playoffs. But then he tore his ACL. He got the injury again in the playoffs against the Seattle Seahawks, against Russell Wilson, his second since 2009 when he was at Baylor, and then things took a turn for the worst. And now the big question marks coming out of this whole thing, Isaac, is does he have anything left? Where will he end up? And I think some of the names and some teams that have been brought up in this whole thing are my Dallas Cowboys, because we certainly need someone to back up the softy that is Tony Romo. Also, the Cleveland Browns, the Houston Texans looking for a QB. Yeah, Brian Hoyer ain't cutting the mustard out there. And even the LA Rams. So those are some teams that have been thrown out. The big question is, though, I got to ask you, do you think that RG3 has anything left to give at the quarterback position as a starter in this league?
I'm not convinced that we'll see him start another game. I think RG3, no matter whether he goes to camp or to a team through a trade or whatever, I think RG3 just fits the mold of a quarterback who's not going to get another shot. People look at him, and personality-wise, they see somebody maybe a little bit off-putting.
You know, this always said this about RG3. When he went through that stint, where a lot of people were criticizing him, and he came back from the ACL injury, and he was just interceptions galore, he went to social media and would call out everybody. And he seemed just so bitter about it. Just shut up and go play. That's what I always say about RG3.
There's a difference between being a good winner and a good loser. You don't have to be both. You can be one or the other. And RG3 is a great winner. So gracious. Always is very... plotting of his fans and things like that. But when he loses, he's the first one to write up some beautiful letter. That's a great letter. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've got nothing against the guy's literary skills. But, I mean, at the same time, you shouldn't be writing that about a team that's paying you a lot of money to play football. No, go out, like you said, shut up and play the game. And if your role is best required on the bench, that's where you sit until your contract's expired. If you wouldn't complain so much, you'd get chances. Coaches would not mind giving you a chance because it's not as if Kirk Cousins instantly locked down that spot. That took a few starts before he could really get his shoes set. So,
well, I will say this, Isaac, and to credit to RG3 with this, I think RG3 did learn a bit of that because
he did.
This year, he shut up. He was so supportive of Kirk Cousins, no matter how much it may have hurt him internally. He didn't voice anything. He didn't go to social media and whine about anything. He was so supportive of Kirk, and he seemed to be getting it. Do I think he will get another shot? Of course. I mean, I think there are many teams that RG3 at least deserves a shot at because there are so many. At the bottom tier of the league, there are some horrible quarterbacks out there, Isaac. I think he will get a shot. It's just a question is of if he's learned to go down. That's the big thing with RG3. And he didn't have any protection as well when it comes to the offensive line.
No, he didn't.
Out in Washington, so that also goes to his credit as well. Give this man an offensive line, and he has to learn that when he gets out of that pocket, you got to slide, dude. And that's the reason why he was hurt and went through those injuries when he was in Washington. He's got to slide. But I think the team out there is going to give him a shot. Whether he still has some left in the tank, I think he does, Isaac. I think he does.
The only team I could see giving him a real shot at a starting position is the Houston Texans. If he goes there, I see him getting some starting time and
Browns,
whatnot because they
maybe
need that switch up. But not the Browns, because if you ask me, the Browns have dabbled with scrambling quarterbacks before, and they'll look to solidify this position in the draft and lock up a starter for the next few years to come.
L.A. Rams. They're also an interesting option,
but
possibly there.
Case Keenum has not been that bad.
No, he ain't been good, though, I tell you that. And if he goes to the Cowboys, he won't be starting, of course. Tony Romo has that locked up. But, hey, Tony Romo will get injured at week 8, get a collarbone, another collarbone injury, and then RG3 may have a shot at leading the start or something.
We'll
who knows?
Just hold on to the extra point.
Right, exactly, right on. It's tough being a Cowboys fan, I tell you. All right, you don't want to miss tomorrow's show. Because we will be diving in more bracketology, if you will. We will be also talking about this interesting story concerning the NFL withholding $120 million. Yeah, of shared revenue. We'll dive into that and so much more. But first, I want to give a special thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Again, folks, we are canceling tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down with Dale Beard. The weather is just too bad outside. We'll keep you posted on when we reschedule that taping. But again, we'll be back at it right here live on the radio tomorrow. Same time, same place. Have a fantastic afternoon. Be safe out there, folks, and be easy, people.